Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Mickey Frederick, and I'm one of the elders at Watermark. And we're here today for a sweet and significant day in your body and in the life of any church. We're here to install Connor Baxter, Jeff Hewitt, and Hunter Ramsey as elders of Onward. Yes. Absolutely. And the reason this is such a significant day in the life of anybody is because the God that we've been singing about all throughout history has always raised up leaders to lead his people here on earth. And we see in the Bible examples of faithful leaders like Moses, like Joseph, like Joshua, like David. And we also get to see what happens whenever leaders aren't as faithful. And an example of that is whenever the nation of Israel, after David fell away from the Lord and the Lord sent his people into exile, he was clear who he held primarily responsible for that, firstly responsible. And it was the priest, it was the leaders, it was the shepherds that he had raised up to lead his body. And so we see that in Jeremiah 2, where God is telling Jeremiah the prophet, he said, "The priest did not say, 'Where's the Lord?' Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after the things that do not profit. Therefore, I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children, I will contend." God first and foremost held the leaders of the people responsible. And that's what led to where the nation of Israel got, where a few verses later, God says, "My people committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So we see what happens whenever a leader, whenever a shepherd is not faithful to steward their responsibility. But thankfully, God has given us so many pictures of what faithful leaders look like. And in the New Testament, we see quite a few pictures of what that looks like. And we see Paul talking about at the end of his ministry in 2 Timothy, where he's telling Timothy, who he's empowered as a leader, said, "Follow the pattern of the sound words you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted you." You see, Paul, during his life, he first said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And then he also discipled young men and women around him so that whenever it was Paul's time to exit the stage, so the others were ready, God had raised up for them to lead the church on into the future. And that's where we're at today. You see, leadership in the church, it's not like a sign up where we have a blank sheet of paper and it says, "Whoever has margin in your schedule and the desire, come put your name up here and we want you to lead our church." No, God raises up leaders for his people over many years and over many seasons to get to the place where it's their turn to help lead the body of God. Body of Christ. And we are told throughout the New Testament what characteristics God develops in a leader as he's preparing them for leadership. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as well as in Titus 1, the characteristics that God instills in his leaders, that they are above reproach, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, upright, holy, disciplined, and some other things. And it is clear when God's hand is on a man, you see his family flourishing, you see a marriage that represents submission and love towards one another. You see children that are growing in knowledge of the Lord, and they see an example of what it looks like for a mother and a father to follow Christ. And then comes to opportunities to serve, which Connor, Jeff, and Hunter have had for the past months and years here serving at Onward here in Frisco with other faithful leaders who have said, "Okay, let's talk about what you believe. That's important. Orthodoxy is important. But how do you live it out? What does it look like as you're living out your role as God's men here in the community?" They've gotten to see how they counsel and love others and speak to those who don't know Christ. Are they the aroma of Christ in each of the rooms that they enter? And so now we come to today. It's the end of a long process. It's the beginning of a new season where they're installed in leadership. But I just want you to know that there's many conversations, many months and years of praying and serving together that has led to this point. And we rejoice in that. And so I talked about what the qualifications for an elder are. I'll also read what the charge of an elder is. And we see Peter describe that in 1 Peter chapter 5, where he said, "So I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being example to the flock." And that's the role of a shepherd, to protect the flock, to feed the flock, to serve as an example for the flock, to make sure that the flock is well cared for. And that's what these men are committing to today. But it's not just a commitment that they make. We're asking you to commit to journey with them. And there's three things that we're specifically gonna ask of you. And the first is that you pray for your leaders. We're exhorted throughout the New Testament to pray for our leaders. Pray for their protection, pray for their strength, pray for wisdom. That's James 1:5. Pray for their faithfulness, that they will abide in Christ. Just as they pray that they will with their wives, with their community, and with you all. The second that we're gonna ask is that you trust your leaders. God has raised up these men and they're gonna carry, they already are carrying sometimes what is a heavy burden. It's a joyful burden, but they're carrying a lot. Please trust them. If you don't understand what they're doing or what they're thinking, please seek to understand, but trust them. And the third is to serve along with them. This is not a spectator sport. If 1 Corinthians 12 tells us about the body of Christ, the head, the feet, the arms, the mouth, we each play a different role. And their role is not more significant than your role. They just have a particular responsibility to shepherd the flock, but it is also to serve alongside each one of you. They need you and will need you. So please pray, please trust, and please shepherd, or please serve alongside them in the days ahead. So now I'm gonna pass it to Kyle to share a little bit more about these men.
Good, thank you, Mickey. Well, as Mickey said, this is really a celebration this morning, and everything that we do is going to flow out of the passages that you just heard him reference. My name's Kyle Thompson. I've had the pleasure and joy of serving as an elder at Watermark the last 17 years, and in addition, my wife and I had the joy of being part of the launch for the Frisco campus and part of that campus for a number of months. And so during the time that we were there, we added both Jeff Hewitt and Hunter Ramsey as campus shepherds to the campus. And as we did that, we knew that was going to be part of their process of in the future, them becoming elders. So this has been a very, very long process that we're in. I've known and served with both Jeff and Hunter for over a decade. We've had multiple opportunities to disciple and minister together. Hunter and I were talking this morning. There was a man who made some destructive choices 12 years ago that Hunter and I were deeply involved in caring for that family, and we had a touch point just a couple of days ago. And so it's been encouraging just to see how he and I continued to be able to pray for that man and restoration of his family, and how ministry goes on and on because it's God doing supernatural things as he draws people to him. And so I've seen firsthand why these men are qualified to be elders. There's been a long span of faithfulness in their devotion to Christ, in loving their wives and their kids, and in serving and shepherding the body at Frisco. And I'm also really excited about your lead pastor and elder, Connor Baxter. And I can affirm God's really ministry through Connor, his leadership of Connor. I've known Connor really well for over 7 years. My wife and I had the privilege of doing their premarital discipleship for he and Allie. In addition, Connor and Allie lived with us for a season, and so you really get to know people well when they live in your home. We have been able to minister, Connor and I have, not only in at Watermark Dallas, but Connor and I ministered for a season in Watermark Fort Worth, and then together in Watermark, Frisco. So we have a lot of history together. I've seen just how he has loved his wife and kids as his primary responsibility, which is a real challenge when you're in a role like he is, to make sure that you never compromise the ministry that you have, that's your family. Connor displays a spiritual maturity beyond his years, and those that have been around him know that. And I couldn't be any more confident in his qualifications to lead as the lead pastor and as an elder. And so this morning, on behalf of Watermark, I want you to know that we celebrate, we affirm, and we extend our blessing and joy to the body of Onward. And just as importantly, the humble and godly leadership that God has provided for Onward.
My name is Dave Job, and I've served here as an elder at Centennial Church these last several years. And I'm bumping 72, and my pastor's about 27. But I'm on your team. Guys, I'm on your team. It's a privilege to be here. I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I just want to share with you what I've been praying for these guys. There's a psalm, and I think it's the counterpart to Proverbs 31 for the godly woman. It's Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God, and in his law he meditates day and night." I have watched, I've gotten to know these three, and the way that they do a community together as families, and I've seen them, I've just been blessed by that. Because the psalmist said, when you build community, you know, when you choose to be in community, when you take counsel from others, you want to do that with folks that have a desire to follow Christ, not the ungodly, but those who want to be a follower, a humble follower of Christ. And you want to be in community with repentant men who recognize their brokenness, their need, their weakness, and are able to confess that to one another. And those who don't become hard-hearted, they don't become scorners. They keep a soft and pliable and open heart to the Lord. And I see that in these three guys. And then it says he meditates day and night in the Word of God, and I have that sense that these guys are building their life around the Word of God. And so I've been praying that God would sustain them in that, would continue to call them deeper into relationship with Him and in relationship with each other as accountability partners in this ministry, you know, and that they will just stay rooted and keep us rooted in the Word of God. Because the psalmist said, "He is like a tree that is planted by a river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." So I'm excited about what God's going to do through Onward Church and through this new leadership. And Scott and I are up here. This is kind of our last day to elder. You know, we're getting to step aside and let these young guns run. But we are on your team, love and support you guys, and we will continue to pray for you as we serve together. Thanks.
Well, my name is Scott Holtz, and my family has been coming to church here at Centennial since 2003, kind of when they opened the doors. And I just was thinking about 1 Corinthians 15 is the chapter where Paul talks about, you know, if the resurrection really happened, if it's really true, then our ministry is of utmost importance, of first importance. And then in verse 58, he goes on to say, "Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And so it's interesting that Paul calls it labor. I like to tell people that being an elder is, you know, the most difficult and emotionally draining and worst paying job that I've ever had. You know, it has. It's difficult on my whole family. You know, cost me lots and lots of hours of sleep. It just continually, you know, made me face my own inadequacies. And I don't say that to be a bummer, but just to encourage and exhort you guys to lead in humility and weakness and just dependence on Christ. Being an elder has been the most spiritually rewarding and faith-affirming and love-building thing that I've ever done. And I look forward to seeing God work through you guys. So we're going to ask Connor and Hunter and Jeff and their wives to come up, and we're going to spend a few minutes praying over them and charging them.
Yeah, so as they come up, I just want to set up for you what we're about to do. As Scott said, you know, this process started, as you heard me say, years ago, but really the formality of it started a number of months ago when we introduced these three as elder candidates. And we communicated your role in all of that, that God affirms the role for these men to play through you. And so it was great as we did that to get your feedback and more importantly, your affirmation. And I'm standing right in front of Allie here. I don't know what, she's much more beautiful than I am. I'm going to get behind you. But the reason we have their wives up here is, you know, Genesis 2 tells us that when we marry, that we yoke as one. And they're, every part of these men's lives, their wives are a part of. And that, to me, is no more true than the role they're stepping into. The Holy Spirit, through these women, are going to be used by God to speak to them in a way that allows them to continue to lead. And so they're as integral to this process. When we look at men that are qualified, we not only look at their life and devotion to Christ, but the second most important element is their marriages and their families. And you see that elevated, as Mickey said, in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus. And so it's a big part of what they're doing. And we also recognize, as I said earlier, that that as they lead, and they do it with an abundance of counsel, that it is a picture as they serve the body here, that it doesn't diminish their role and responsibility to serve and to care for and to invest in and encourage their wives and cherish and nourish them. And so we're gonna pray for them. We're gonna pray as God continues to move this body forward, and we're gonna pray for protection and just pray and acknowledge that what's happening here is really supernatural. And so, Scott, why don't you kick us off?
Great. Father God, we just come before you and acknowledge that this is your church. And so we lift up these men and their wives and their families as we lay hands on them. And beg you by the power of your Holy Spirit to strengthen them for the work that you've called them to, God. Thank you for calling them to this role. Thank you for their faithfulness. I pray that we as a body would also be faithful to pray and follow and support them in every way that we can, again, under your power. God, we just desire to live in dependence on you, in humility and weakness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he was content in weakness and in hardship and insults and persecutions and calamity because your grace is sufficient, God. And that's my prayer for these men, that your grace would be sufficient for the task that you've called them to.
Father, I thank you that, again, these men are yours, that they know that apart from you, that they can do nothing. I thank you, just as we sang earlier, the ways we're reminded that in our weakness that you're made strong. And so we do pray for just your supernatural strength in the midst of the weakness that we face. I thank you for Allie Baxter. Thank you for Amanda Ramsey and Jessica Hewitt and the ways that you will use these women as they love, encourage, and complete their husbands. I thank you for just the ways that your Spirit will speak to them just as they care for and shepherd and encourage each other. I thank you for this body, just the multitude of leaders that are here as this body goes forward, and just the way that you created us for dependence on you, and you created us for relationship and dependence on each other. And so I pray you would use them just as they are, just embody the aroma of Christ to impact this community, to impact their neighborhoods, to impact their families in a way that you use to draw people to you. I thank you for the way you remind us that we plant and water and you make things grow. And so I pray you would help them put on a heart of compassion and kindness and gentleness and forbearance, patience, forgiveness, as you've forgiven us. And just in a world that just seems so divisive, that this place would be a place of love and acceptance and encouragement and unity. And so I just thank you for the ways that you do that, the ways that we just have to be faithful today. And you are the one that does everything else, that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, that tomorrow will take care of itself. And so thank you for the clarity, discernment that you've given for what we're doing right now. And we just pray that you would anoint, guide, and direct this body through these people. And just thank you for the way you love us and encourage us and remind us of the grace that you extend and our dependence on you through Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to transition, and I'm going to ask Jeff and Hunter to stay up here. They want to share a few other things just to update you on as the body moves forward. And so, Jeff, are you going first or Hunter? Okay.
Thank you, sir. Well, we are very humbled and thankful and excited about what God's going to do with this new work that he's put together in Frisco. And we're so excited to be a part of it. And we're just thankful for the men that were here this morning up on stage with us, who've been praying for us and pouring into us and shepherding us in many ways, and that they feel a clear conscience before God this morning to affirm what they see God doing here in Frisco. And we're thankful to have praying wives and praying families. As you saw, our wives up here this morning that are willing to pray for us and admonish us when we need it and to encourage us. And we're thankful to have faithful men that are sitting out here this morning that are watching our lives, that are praying for us, that are encouraging us and even admonishing us when we need it. And we're so thankful for that. And know that we will continue to pray for you. We do these things already, but we will continue to pray for you, encourage you and remind you of the hope that we have in Jesus. And we will not hold back from proclaiming to you the full counsel of God's word. And as much as we're able, as we abide with Jesus, and as Romans 8 talks about, walking in the Spirit as much as we're able, we will do our best to live a life that exemplifies Christ. And we want to be able to say, follow us as we follow him. And so we have the conviction that we're an elder-led church, and we've talked about that a lot. But I hope that what you hear this morning is that by being an elder-led church, that your elders served. And I hear, a lot of excitement from the folks that I talk to about what God's doing, lives that are being transformed, marriages that are being restored, addictions that are being broken, and just encouraged and excited about what God's doing. And I think about Psalm 5:3 a lot, and I'm thinking about it this morning as well. And in Psalm 5:3, the psalmist says, you hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning, I direct my prayers to you and eagerly watch. And there's just a part of that that's, you know, excitement for what God's doing, confidence that God is moving, and just an expectation to be patient and wait on the Lord, that we're not doing this on our own. The best thing that we can do is pray, and we excitedly and expectantly watch to see what God will do. And so, personally, looking forward to doing this with you, Lord willing, for many, many years. And outside of my family, loving my kids, pursuing and loving my wife, I have no, there's no place I'd rather be than investing my life into you. So thank you this morning.
Thanks, Jeff. What's up, guys and gals? Sir? I know, that was good. Hunter Ramsey, it's a privilege to be with you guys this morning. And as this week, I've just been thinking and praying a lot, met with Jeff and Connor several times, and just talking through and praying through the humility, the humble hearts, the gratitude that we have just to be standing here before you, to be serving alongside of you. And I think about Philippians 2, 1 through 11, and which is the prayer for me and for us, that we will model the humility of Christ in the way we serve alongside each of you, the way we lead others. And we pray that we will be men who say, hey, follow us as we follow Christ. But if we're not doing that, if we're not following Christ, don't follow us. And so our prayer and our hope is that we will continue to do that. And we're honored and privileged and come to you guys just grateful to lead with you, to serve with you, and to be his church alongside of you. This week, yesterday, I was sitting with my son and we were reading Psalm 25. Spent about 15 minutes just talking through first few verses of that chapter. And after we got done, I told him, I was like, I'm going to pray that for me, for us, for our church. And it's just a good charge for me just to remember that the Lord is who we follow. And so just to read some of that to you, Psalm 25, 1 through 2, and then 4 and 5. It says, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And so it goes on to say at the end of chapter 25 and Psalm 25, 21, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. And so that's the prayer for us. We pray that you guys will pray that for us as well. We'll pray for that for you as a church and as a body, that you guys will be his hands and feet and be his church out there for a lost world. So with that, a couple of quick announcements. One of them is giving platform. So we've gotten some emails, texts, phone calls on when that will be going live. So know that we are working on that. We will announce that in Onward Weekly, which is replacing the Watermark News here. And so we're hoping that will be up and live by September 12th when we launch the world, announce it that we are independent and Onward Community Church. So this is kind of a preview of that, but that's coming. We're going to announce it here in the coming weeks, and know that anything you are giving, whether it be to Centennial or Watermark Frisco, that's still going towards our mission, but that's coming in the coming weeks. And then Jeff's going to give you one more announcement here.
Great. Thank you, Hunter. One more announcement on students. And so just talking about our students ministry, if you have students or you have folks here that are, you know, in your family that are student age, so that's middle school and high school, that's what we kind of classify as students. The mission of the students ministry is that our students would be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And our students director, as well as the young adults that serve in the students ministry, they want to partner with parents to make that happen for our kids. And so just want to, you know, just tell you about a little bit about
Thank you.
I went to the door and it opened. So I thought that meant I needed to leave the room I was in. And I walked past the living room and I came in here. And that's how I got here. How'd you get here?
I broke through the play panels.
You're not supposed to do that.
What?
You're not supposed to break through the play panels. They told us that. The big people told us that.
I promised to not tell my mom.
She might be in the room. I think you're in big trouble.
Uh-oh.
Big trouble. But what? What is your name? I didn't even know.
Yeah, I've never seen you before.
Well, you must be in a different room. Here, turn around. Let me see your name tag.
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, yeah. We worked on our numbers and letters all last year in quarantine. 4-6-B. Hi, 4-6-B.
4-6-B, that's not my name.
Yeah, what's my name? What's my name?
Christopher.
No, that's not it.
I can't read. But I think it says Wee-Wind.
Wee-Wind?
Yeah, Wee-Wind.
It's not Wee-Wind?
Hey, Wee-Wind, guess what?
Don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do it.
I just made a Wee-Wind in my
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I did.
I didn't even know. Did you know that all these big people were going to be in here?
No, I didn't.
I didn't. Sometimes I just stay out in the couches with the living room.
You do?
Yeah, the whole time.
That's so sad.
It is very sad.
Yeah, so sad.
It's okay.
You don't get to see big people.
Do you need a goldfish? You need a goldfish?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Oh, there we go. Good job.
All bad.
But you know what's really fun?
What?
Being in the classroom.
Yeah.
With the big people. With the big people, they're really fun.
They're awesome.
You know what?
Wee-Wind.
What?
You sound like a 40-year-old man.
Boys.
It's okay.
Boys, I've been looking for you.
What
are you doing?
We gotta go.
We go. Oh, no.
It's not time.
Oh, no, they found us.
We've been compromised.
Oh, no.
It's not time.
Oh, no.
Well, that is just a way where, one, we take seriously leading, serving, praying, and hopefully we don't take too seriously ourselves. And as we follow Jesus together, we want to have a lot of fun. But one of the things we want you to hear as we are now launching as a new church and moving onward towards this community and the lost in faith, that there is one major thing we need in the next 2 weeks as a body. If we want to host this city and the surrounding places really well. We need more folks to help with kids so Wee-Wind doesn't end up in the living room or in here. And so that's our way of just saying, hey, we can do better to see and serve and disciple the next generation. We need more people here at Onward Community Church at the 9 and 11 a.m. to jump in with kids and to serve. And what has become the anchor of the church really is kids. You know, there's a lot of reasons to stay home on Sunday, and we have accommodated to that at large as a society with all we have to do in terms of COVID. But we really think if we want to change generations, we need to host the next one well. And so, in a fun way, we want to invite you to help us for that September 12th launch date to do the job that we want to do with kids, which is we want them to be seen and welcomed. We want kids who come here to be known by name, not lost in the shuffle of all that's going on. We want kids to be taught about Jesus, and you need them in smaller settings and usually rooms with walls where they can't get out to keep their attention as they eat their goldfish. And but we do want to keep them safe and secure. And it's why we've started to turn kids away on Sunday morning. And we're having to do that before we even open up the floodgates. And so it's been awesome. Part of the reason is because God is adding more and more people here day by day, and families are coming and things are growing, and we have two services, and all of that is really exciting. This is just the need that is increasing. And so if you are not serving, but you're excited about what God is doing, this is how you can get in the game. Come serve with us with kids on Sundays. It's a lot of fun, as you just met our students director, who is dressed up like Winnie the Pooh, Miles, and Matt Clyde, who is our family director, who oversees that whole area. They are the kind of people leading with our kids and having a blast and making it awesome. So jump in with us. You can email kids@onwardcc.org, kids@onwardcc.org, to jump in. That is the single greatest need we have before September 12th. And so as we close, I'm wrapping up. There's just a few things I want you to hear me say. We know in Scripture that leaders are not exceptions. There's not things reserved uniquely for leaders in terms of character. They are examples. And that is our prayer, is to hopefully model for you what it is, not just what God wants for leaders of the church, but what he wants for every individual of the church when it comes to character and relationship with God and heart to serve people. And so we pray not to be exceptions here, but really fit in with the norm of the kind of people God is producing through his Spirit, his word, here at Onward Community Church. And that's what's really fun. I mean, we look out and we know, just as the three men who have stepped into the role and bearing the burden with joy and eagerness to give an account for every soul, as we look out, there are so many men, I mean, truly, that if God wanted to shuffle the deck and rotate us three out and three other men in, he could do that several times and place several different groups of three men to lead this church, and this would be a healthy, thriving place. And so we just believe God for today and prayerfully for a long time will allow us to do this. But we want you to hear us say, and many of you that have been here for a long time, both on the Watermark side of the family and Centennial, there are multitudes of men who would also be examples for anybody in the body. And so it's a privilege to be alongside you and lead with you. Dave, you're not elderly, where'd he go anymore? But these guys are going to serve with us. And we're excited that as they step to the side, they're right by our side. And many of you are. And that's a joy. There's things we, just as men now leading and serving, can never do for this body. And the primary thing we cannot do for you is purchase you with our blood. And when Scripture addresses in Acts 20, just the role and the call of elder to shepherd one another, shepherd yourselves, and to shepherd the flock, which Jesus purchased with his blood. We are to care for you, but we can't do anything to that level. And it's why Scripture tells us we are under shepherds. Jesus is the pastor of this church. Jesus is the head of this church. And we hope in the way that we serve and model exemplifies him, but we are excited to follow Christ with you and to learn from you and to watch Christ through the Spirit of God do amazing things as we continue to humbly walk with him. It's going to be a blast. We cannot take Christ's place, but we can help you on your path following and walking with him and to serve you well. There's one primary verse as I've just been spending time thinking about what is our, my, maybe, goal and desire, and if there's so many verses I could turn to, but this would be the one that I think God has just placed on my heart when it comes to what it is we are trying to do and how we want to do it. And so in Colossians 1, it says this, starting in verse 28. It says, him we proclaim. So we're going to sing a song in a moment, and the name's not going to be Connor or Jeff or Hunter. It's going to be Christ. Him we proclaim, warning everyone. So yes, we welcome everyone, but just a smile and kindness is not the end of the road. There is a warning that our sin has a consequence. Our sin determines our eternity apart from God, but we still proclaim Christ, that there is a way to have an eternal relationship with God through Christ. But there is a warning in that. That apart from him, we'll spend eternity away from God. So him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone of Onward Community Church mature in Christ, that each one of you would know how to have and have a deep relationship with God, understanding his ways, able to stand and teach and communicate, letting God's word run through the river of your heart where it changes your life. And then verse 29, which is kind of the picture, you know, for as long as God will let me do this, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. That is the goal, that you would have a deep walk with God, that you would be mature. And we are going to spend every hour that we can outside of walking with Jesus and our families, toiling and striving for you. And so pray for us that we don't grow weary, that we continue in good, that we are steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And as Paul says, you are the crown. You are the reward. You are why we're excited to do this. So thank you for giving us men the privilege to do it. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for the body. Thank you for the fact that we're onward because we are moving on from generations and with legacy. And we are standing on the shoulders of men and women from multiple places who have carried the torch of Christ well and who are passing the baton on. But we are starting light years ahead of where most quote-unquote church plants start because of so much faithfulness of people in this room and before us. And so we, Lord, just want to acknowledge that and celebrate and ask that we would carry forth, Christ, what you started 2,000 years ago as you brought your gospel and the new covenant and began your church, and you said the world won't stand a chance, the gates of hell won't prevail against you, that though there is an enemy, and as we battle and not what's seen but unseen, Father, that we're fighting from victory. We're fighting from the cross. We are fighting in the strength of the resurrection, that your Spirit, he is leading us. Help us, Lord, to be the most dependent, humble, passionate, zealous church that's ever lived. And the way that we love one another and are dedicated to your word and our submission to it would be honoring and pleasing in your sight. So Christ, we thank you that this temple, the metaphor Ephesians 2 uses of the church, is built on one cornerstone, and that's you, Christ. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.